his death. This baby did not just die. The baby was murdered.
Three people are facing charges in the mother's death. The state's attorney's office says prosecutors will make a determination on additional charges. This is Fox News.
Noble here with Dixie Electric Plumbing and Air. Join us this month as we donate a portion of our proceeds to Folds of Honor, a scholarship program for the children of service members who died or were disabled in the line of duty. Thank you for your support.
License number 15033.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, a family-owned company with competitive pay and great benefits. Good home time and new equipment arriving daily. Be a part of the family. Give Wiley Sanders a call at 855-777-9785.
Hi, everybody. We've enjoyed a great couple of days, but we're going to be slowly returning to business as usual over the upcoming weekend. For tonight, mostly clear, still comfortable, overnight low 65. Tomorrow, you will start to feel more humidity in the air with a high temperature up to about 91. A good bit of sunshine. The rain chances are not zero, but I've got them under 20% tomorrow. A little bit better chance as we get into Sunday and Monday with scattered hit or miss storms here and there. High temperatures around 90 each day. A typical summer forecast and lows at night right around 70. From the American Meteorological Society Conference in San Diego, Rich Thomas for Blue Water Broadcasting.
Smart Skin Spa and Salon is the River Region's full-service med spa, day spa, and salon. Located in historic downtown Prattville, with over 500 square feet, Smart Skin offers over 100 services of all things beauty and relaxation. Find them online or on Facebook now.
The views and opinions expressed on Clearing the Air are solely those of Terry Adams and other contributors. These views and opinions do not necessarily represent those of Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, its staff, or any advertisers.
You're listening to John Mellencamp and, of all people, Mitch Ryder. You see, number one fan of Mitch Ryder was John Mellencamp. And back in the 80s, when Mellencamp really had it going on, he got with Mitch and said, you need to do another album. So he produced an album for Mitch called Never Kick a Sleeping Dog. It is one of my favorite albums of all time. It is a great album. Mellencamp's guys played on it. Toby Myers. I forget all the players. I've met them all, believe it or not. And they all played on the record. It's great. I say record, I'm old. Great, great album. It's one of my favorites. It stays in my player in my car all the time. I listen to it. But anyway, be that as it may, let me give you some credit to show you, if you don't believe how crazy this world has gotten, let me just read you a few headlines. I call this, if you doubt the world has gone crazy, Vermont to allow taxpayer-funded sex reassignment surgeries for children. The good old Pope urges carbon penalties to avert climate catastrophe. Listen to this. SWAT-style raid on Christian school at the center of a lawsuit as California demands they teach sexual exploitation or face closure. Things have gone, the world's gone crazy, folks. Everything's upside down, just as prophecy said it would be. You know, here we are. All right, notes and quotes. Let me give you a few quotes here. Sometimes your medicine bottle has on it, shake well before using. Well, that is what God has to do with some of his people. He has to shake them up before they're ever usable. A Christian named Vance Havner, I believe he is a preacher in Australia, said that. He also said, God uses broken things. He takes broken soil to produce a crop, broken clouds to give rain, broken grain to give bread, broken bread to give strength. It is the broken alabaster box that gives forth perfume. It is Peter, weeping bitterly, who returns to greater power than ever. I love that. It's just wild. I love that. I get these from a guy actually in New Zealand, if I'm not mistaken. All right, listen to, my mouse is doing nine lines at a click again. It does. I don't know why it does that. Somebody's hacked my computer again. Anyway, give all power to the many and they will oppress the few. Give all power to the few and they will oppress the many. Both, therefore, ought to have power that each may defend itself against the other. Founding Father Alexander Hamilton said that. Now, here's one of mine. I have always said, I've said many times on this program, you can always tell someone's beliefs by their actions. Well, as it so happens, you can also tell their beliefs by their inaction. Think about that. The party seeks power in, well, let me just tell you, he wrote this so you'll understand the context. George Orwell, you know, 84, not 84, Clay 84, but the book. The party seeks power entirely for its own sake. We are not interested in the good of others. We are interested solely in power, pure power. What pure power means, you will understand presently. We are different from the oligarchs of the past in that we know what we're doing. All the others, even those who resembled ourselves, were cowards and hypocrites. The German Nazis and Russian communists came very close to us in their methods, but they never had the courage to recognize their own motives. They pretended, perhaps they even believed, that they had seized power unwillingly and for a limited time, and that just around the corner there lay a paradise where human beings would be free and equal. We're not like that. We know that no one ever seizes power with the intention of relinquishing it. Power is not a means, it is an end. One does not establish a dictatorship in order to safeguard a revolution. One makes the revolution in order to establish a dictatorship. The object of persecution is persecution. The object of torture is torture. The object of power is power. Now you begin to understand me. He also said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. I think we're seeing that right now, folks. One last Orwell quote. Until they become conscious, they will never rebel. Until after they have rebelled, then they cannot become conscious. Now, his buddy Huxley said, only the vigilant can maintain their liberties, and only those who are constantly and intelligently on the spot can hope to govern themselves effectively by democratic procedures. A society, most of whose members spend a great deal of their time not on the spot, now here and now and in their incalculable future, but somewhere else, in the irrelevant other worlds of sport and soap opera, of mythology and metaphysical fantasy, will find it hard to resist the encroachments of those who would manipulate and control it. I know I screwed that up, but let me translate it. It's easier to deceive a distracted populace. There you go. All right, Barry Goldwater, in his book, No Apologies, said, the most powerful clique in these elitist groups have one objective in common. They want to bring about the surrender of the sovereignty of the national independence of the United States of America. I've been saying that for 5 years, folks. That is exactly, and I'm not the only one that said this. Dr. Moncrief has said it. William Cooper has said it. I could go on and on and on and on. We got to wake up if we want to stop it, because this is it. End of the road. There's nothing after this. It's game over, folks. We got to do something. All right. This is a piece of something that's too long for me to read, but I kind of culled through and grabbed a couple of paragraphs. Listen to this. Americans have been conditioned to accept routine incursions on their privacy rights. In fact, the addiction to screen devices, especially cell phones, I would say smartphones, has created a hive effect where the populace not only watched but is controlled by AI bots. However, at one time, the idea of a total surveillance state tracking one's every move would have been abhorrent to most Americans. That all changed with the 9/11 attacks. It jumped on me again. So aggravating. I'm sorry. This is ridiculous. That all changed with the 9/11 attacks. As Professor Jeffrey Rosen observes, before September 11, the idea that Americans would voluntarily agree to live their lives under the gaze of a network of biometric surveillance cameras peering at them in government buildings, shopping malls, subways, and stadiums would have seemed unthinkable. A dystopian fantasy of a society that had surrendered privacy and anonymity. Having been reduced to a cowering citizenry, mute in the face of elected officials who refuse to represent us, helpless in the face of police brutality, powerless in the face of militarized tactics and technology that treats us like enemy combatants on a battlefield, and naked in the face of government surveillance that sees and hears all, we have nowhere left to go. We have, so to speak, gone from a nation where privacy is king to one where nothing is safe from the prying eyes of the government. in search of so-called terrorists and extremists hiding amongst us, the proverbial needle in a haystack, as one official termed it, the corporate state has taken to monitoring every aspect of our lives, from cell phone calls and emails to internet activities and credit card transactions. Much of this data is being fed through fusion centers across the country. Ours is the old St. Margaret's Hospital, which work with the Department of Homeland Security to make threat assessments on every citizen, including school children. These are state and regional intelligence centers that collect data on you. As George Orwell said, Big Brother is watching you. You better believe he is. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you are now being watched. Especially if you leave behind an electronic footprint. When you use your cell phone, you leave a record of when the call was placed, who you called, how long it lasted, and even where you were when you made the call. When you use your ATM card, you leave a record of where and when you used the card. There's even a video camera at most locations inside of the ATM. Actually, they're equipped with facial recognition software these days. When you use a cell phone or drive a car enabled with GPS, you can be tracked by satellite. Such information is shared with government agents, including local police. And all of this once private information about your consumer habits, your whereabouts, and your activities is now being fed to the U.S. government. The government has nearly inexhaustible resources when it comes to tracking our movements, from electronic wiretapping devices, traffic cameras, and biometrics to radio frequency ID cards, satellites, and internet surveillance. Speech recognition technology now makes it possible for the government to carry out massive eavesdropping by way of sophisticated computer systems. Phone calls can be monitored, the audio converted to text files, and stored in computer databases indefinitely. And if any, and I use 84 air quotes, threatening words are detected, no matter how inane or silly, the record can be flagged and assigned to a government agent for further investigation. Federal and state governments, again, working with private corporations, monitor your internet content. Users are profiled and tracked in order to identify, target, and even prosecute them. In this type of climate, everyone is a suspect, and you're guilty until you can prove yourself innocent. To underscore this shift in how the government now views its citizens, the FBI uses its wide-ranging authority to investigate individuals or groups, regardless of whether they're suspected of a criminal activity or not. George Orwell also said, "Nothing was your own except the few cubic centimeters inside your skull." And I would submit they're not safe anymore either, folks. Here's what a lot of people fail to understand. It's not just what you say or do that's being monitored, but how you think that's being tracked and targeted. We've already seen this play out on the state and federal level with hate crime legislation that cracks down on so-called hateful thoughts and expression, encourages self-censoring, and reduces free debate on various subject matter. Say hello to the new thought police. I told you. They have the technology, folks. They have the technology to read your mind. I'm not kidding. They have the technology called voice to skull to put voices in your head. Total internet surveillance by the corporate state, as omnipresent as God, is used by the government to predict and, more importantly, control the populace, and it's not as far-fetched as you might think. For example, the NSA is now designing an artificial intelligence system that's designed to anticipate your every move. Once again, I've said this before on the Saturday show. That's why they're using quantum computers. That's why they want every single bit of information on you they can find. They feed it into this quantum computer, and the more information on you, no matter how trivial, that they input, the more accurate their predictions of your next move will be. Which is why I tell everybody, tonight, get on your computer and Google something you have no interest in whatsoever, just to throw off their algorithm. Just do it. Somewhere down the road, you'll thank me. Just do it. Wow, I got to hit a break. This is Clearing the Air. It's a short, good Lord, two-minute break. I'll be back in two very, very short minutes. Come back with me. I'll finish this up, and we'll go from there.
Hi, this is Bo Goodson from the Bo Goodson Real Estate School. Have you ever considered real estate as a career? Have you wondered about being in business for yourself and buying homes as an investment? My new pre-licensed class will be starting in June. Now is the time to act. We cover property law, appraisal, management, sales contract, negotiation in detail, using a format of recent examples of transactions and lively interaction. Financing is very important in transactions. FHA, VA, and conventional mortgage guidelines are discussed in detail with sample transactions to learn at your own pace. Real estate careers can be varied between residential sales, commercial property, land sales, property management, or new home sales. Online courses are also available. If you want to know more about real estate or go into the real estate business, go to the source, Bogutson Real Estate School, 551-0225, or email me direct, bogutson@charter.net.
Mr. Sandman.
Okay, this is David, and it's too early for our 4th of July sale, and I've milked Memorial Day for all it's worth, so I'm having an anniversary sale. I really don't remember exactly when I opened my first store, so now is as good a time as any. Our new lineups from Serta, Beautyrest, Jameson, Southern, and Diamond have arrived, and they include some fabulous mattresses from extremely firm to sink-in plush, with nice queen mattresses from $249 and kings from $299, all the way up to really luxurious mattresses in the $2,000 to $3,000 range. We also discount headboards, beds, and adjustable bases every day. With over twice the selection of the other stores on display, many exclusive in this area, lowest prices, great customer service, and mattresses in stock, it's no surprise we keep getting voted Montgomery's favorite. We're open 10 to 6 Monday through Saturday in Montgomery and Tuesday through Saturday in Millbrook. Mr. Sandman Mattress Superstores, locally owned and operated by someone you can actually talk to. Me.
Hey, welcome back to the program. As I was saying, talking about us being surveilled, in a nutshell, the NSA will feed vast amounts of information that it collects on us to a computer system known as ACQUAINT. Of course, it's an acronym. You know everything they do is an acronym. Advanced Question Answering for Intelligence, which the computer can then use to detect patterns and predict future behavior. No information is sacred or spared. Everything from cell phone recordings and logs to emails, text messages, to personal information posted on social networking sites, to credit card statements, to library circulation records, to credit card histories, etc. It's all collected by the NSA and shared freely with its agents in crime, the CIA, FBI, and DHS. One NSA researcher actually quit the ACQUAINT program, citing concerns over the dangers in placing such a powerful weapon in the hands of a top-secret agency with very little accountability. Amen to that. Thus, what we're witnessing in the so-called name of security and efficiency is the creation of a new class system comprised of the watched, the average Americans like you and me, and the watchers, government bureaucrats, technicians, and private corporations. Clearly, the age of privacy in America is at an end. If you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stomping on a human face forever. That's Orwell. That's the last quote I'm going to give you from Orwell. So where does this leave us? Well, we now find ourselves in the unenviable position of being monitored, managed, and controlled by our technology, which answers not to us, but to our government and our corporate rulers. This is the fact is stranger than fiction lesson that's being pounded into us on a daily basis. Now, it won't be long before we find ourselves looking back on the past with longing, back to an age where we could speak to whomever we wanted, buy what we wanted, think what we wanted without those thoughts and words and activities being tracked, processed, and stored by corporate giants like Google, then sold to government agencies such as the NSA and CIA, and used against us by militarized police with their army of futuristic technologies. That's a mouthful. To be an individual today, to not conform, to have even a shred of privacy, and to live beyond the reach of the government's roaming eyes and technological spies, one must not only be a rebel, but rebel. Even when you rebel and take a stand, there's rarely a happy ending awaiting you. You are rendered an outlaw. So how do you survive in the American surveillance state? Well, we're running out of options, to be honest with you folks. As I make clear in my book, Battlefield America, The War on the American People, this is Mr. Whitehead of the Whitehead Institute, Rutherford Institute. John Whitehead, Rutherford Institute. We'll soon have to choose between self-indulgence, the bread and circus distractions offered up by the news, media, politicians, sports, entertainment, yada, 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 and self-preservation in the form of renewed vigilance about threats to our freedom and active engagement in self-governance. Yet, as Aldous Huxley acknowledged in Brave New World Revisited, only the vigilant can maintain their liberties, and only those who are constantly and intelligently on the spot can hope to govern themselves effectively by democratic procedures. A society most of whose members spend a great part of their time not on the spot, not here and now in their calculable future, but somewhere else in the I did that quote earlier. Never mind. Yeah, John W. Whitehead, the Rutherford Institute. I've got to get that book. It sounds like a really good book. Yeah, folks, I was reading some stuff before the show. I like to walk over next door and just kind of sit underneath their overhead thing and pray and read some stuff on my phone. It seems that the BATF, whenever they get weapons and stuff, they store them at a particular warehouse. These are confiscated weapons. I mean, we're talking machine guns, anywhere from just the slides to certain guns, pistols, rifles, whatever, to Thompson submachine guns, okay? Well, they just found out that the guy who was in charge of that facility has been stealing and selling the guns. It's you can't make this stuff up. I mean, it's like 3,000 guns are gone. A lot of them automatic weapons. That's not good. Do you know what'll happen to you if you get caught with a machine gun? You go prison a long time. Yeah, you ain't coming back for a while. It's unreal, but it's getting even worse. Now, California, you know, the center of insanity, is wanting to allow convicted felons to serve on juries. Now, I can see that's going to work out real good. I really see the possibilities there. Yeah, I really do. You know, they're going to let inmates vote. We're going to let them be on the jury now. That's a wonderful idea. As if California isn't screwed up enough as it is. That should push it over the edge, in my opinion. You know, I really hate to talk about politics on this show because I hate politics. But someone sent me a DC dirty laundry. And guess who we have found connected to the failed coup against our sitting president? You'll never believe it. George Soros. Why wouldn't he be involved in Russiagate? I mean, it looks to me like all roads lead to George Soros when it's something that fits his agenda. Well, Donald Trump does not fit his agenda, but his removal does, and he will do anything he can to remove President Trump from office. And again, let's go back to why they want to get Trump out. And yes, it's to put their party in power, but why? Why do they want to be in power so bad? Because they want to destroy this country, destroy the sovereignty of America for the New World Order. That's what all of this is about. It's what everything's about. Anyway, they've done a lot of the Democracy Integrity Project. It was funded by Daniel Jones, a former staffer to Dianne Feinstein. It is organized as a nonprofit. Wow. Let's see. Oh, God. You got to be kidding me. Anyway, they found that Soros donated a lot of money to a group that had something to do with the dossier. Yeehaw. Everybody who's anybody in the democratic community or the Luciferian psychopath cabal has had something to do with this dossier because they want more than anything to get Trump out. They got to get him out. Unless Trump is one of them, which has been suggested to me. I don't know. You know, I go one way, then I go the other. I don't know. I can't figure it out. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. Sometimes I think he is. Sometimes I think he's one of their leaders, and other times I don't. I don't know. Because sometimes he does good things, and sometimes he doesn't do good things. So, who knows? We all remember Jim Jones. We all remember, was it Guyana? I forget the name of the place where his people's temple and what happened. Jonestown, Guyana. Yeah, that's it. Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff to that that I had never read about, and I'm sure most of you've probably never read about. Well, it's been, it's been 40 years, almost 40 years. It's been 38 years since the tragic events. Well, the true story about that's never really been known until now. CIA, here we go, MK Ultra, and Jim Jones was associated, indoctrinated, whatever words you want to use, with the CIA and the MKUltra program. A lot of people believe that this was an experiment, that the CIA wanted to see how much control they could have over an individual and how much control that individual could have over a large group of people. The crazy thing about all the people that died is the way the bodies were found, and the fact that there were no autopsies done on any of the bodies. They were flown back. Their families were not allowed to see them, and they were buried before anything could be done. It's been suggested that things were not as we were told they were. Now, that wouldn't surprise me a bit. But, of course, the media painted Jones as a lunatic cult leader, and they pretty much, that's it, you know, right? CIA Project MKUltra and Jim Jones are linked. The myth of a mass suicide amidst a religious frenzy is nothing less than a fabricated fishtail. Remember, Joseph Goebbels said, if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained for such a time as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and or military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all of its powers to repress dissent, for the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and thus by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. Truer words were never spoken. The bigger the lie, the more it's repeated, the more people will believe it. And this can certainly be said about what happened in Jonestown. 1977, it was revealed that random American citizens were abducted and tortured for research by the CIA. Project MKUltra was the code name for a series of covert activities beginning in the early 50s, similar to those that had occurred in Jonestown. Following the defeat of Germany back in 1945, the predecessor to the CIA, the OSS, Office of Strategic Services, well, they recruited Nazi doctors and Nazi scientists to bring them over here under the direction and supervision of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. This was Project Paperclip, the aforementioned Paperclip. Now, they were ardent Nazis. They were doctors, scientists. They were experts in a wide array of sciences ranging from rocketry to torture because they had honed their crafts on Jews in the concentration camps. As disgusting as that sounds, it's true. Contrary to false history and propaganda, Josef Mengele was indeed one of the doctors recruited under Project Paperclip. Several programs were started which focused on the effects of drugs for interrogation purposes. The United States Navy started Project Chatter in 1947 and focused on identifying and testing the use of drugs on human and animal subjects. Under control of the intelligence divisions of the Army, Air Force, Navy, and FBI was another called Project Artichoke. Now, it focused on the use of hypnosis, forced morphine addiction, and the use of other chemicals and methods. You got to be one sick SOB to force somebody to be addicted to morphine. That's... never mind. Now, Project Artichoke was renamed MKUltra, which initially began human experimentation on CIA employees and military personnel, but soon began to include prostitutes, the mentally ill, and abducted American and Canadian citizens. Operation Midnight Climax was a project operating under the banner of MKUltra, which consisted of a web of CIA-run safe houses in San Francisco, Marin, and New York. Prostitutes on the CIA payroll were paid to lure clients to these safe houses, where the men would be drugged and monitored behind one-way glass. This method of human experimentation was desired because the victims, when released, would be too embarrassed to disclose the events. In 1973, CIA Director Richard Hems ordered the destruction of all documents pertaining to MKUltra. Due to the destruction of these records, it's difficult or nigh impossible to perform additional research into MKUltra or the 150 individually funded sub-projects that operated under the MKUltra banner. In 1974, the New York Times reported that the CIA conducted illegal domestic activities, including experiments on U.S. citizens, which prompted Congress to intervene and conduct investigations. Those are the Church Committee investigations I've talked about so much. The guy who you heard him, I played his video the other night, was actually the one, he was a whistleblower about MKUltra to the Church Committee. That's kind of where he got his claim to fame. Anyway, I'll finish this when we get back. I've got to hit this bottom of the hour break. You're listening to Clear in the Air. I am your host, Terry Adams, egomaniac with an inferiority complex. I will be back in, I don't know, 5 minutes. Depends on what Jay put in here. But anyway, y'all come back with me as soon as I can find. My mouse is awful cold again. That's strange. Why is it not working? Oh, it's frozen. There it is.
Are you tired of waiting on that credit union or bank to call you back? I'll tell you why.
It's Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, a family-owned company with competitive pay and great benefits. Good home time and new equipment arriving daily.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. We've enjoyed a great couple of days, but we're going to be slowly returning to business as usual over the upcoming weekend. For tonight, mostly clear, still comfortable, overnight low 65. Tomorrow, you will start to feel more humidity in the air with a high temperature up to about 91. A good bit of sunshine. The rain chances are not zero, but I've got them under 20% tomorrow. A little bit better chance as we get into Sunday, Monday with scattered hit or miss storms here and there. High temperatures around 90 each day. Typical summer forecast and lows at night right around 70. From the American Meteorological Society Conference in San Diego, Rich Thomas for Blue Water Broadcasting.
Interested in making some spring renovations? Check out a home equity line of credit from ASE Credit Union. ASE Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASE. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender. ASE Credit Union, 9 locations or online at yourasecu.com.
Well, that's strange. It's only playing one side. Isn't that odd? Let me continue. Oh, by the way, welcome back. All right. Well, that's weird. Oh, well. Let's continue on. The Church Committee and Rockefeller Commissions both released reports in 1975 that revealed that the CIA and the Department of Defense did indeed conduct experiments on citizens without their consent. The Church Committee concluded that prior consent was obviously not obtained from any of the subjects. Now, how could MKUltra mind control not have been considered in the case of Jonestown, since cults are breeding grounds for brainwashing and the fact that Jones used CIA MKUltra torture techniques to the letter? Did Jim Jones have the manual, or was he himself an operative? All indications identify Jim Jones as both a programmer and an MKUltra Manchurian candidate. The controlled mass media have created a myth, the legend of Jonestown. Carved out of the jungles of Guyana on the northeast coast of South America, a fanatical group of followers of the Reverend Jim Jones were led to the jungles of South America to get away from the oppression of life in America. Reports that Jones followers willingly followed their leader in a revolutionary mass suicide by sipping purple Kool-Aid-laced cyanide cocktails. Another myth that has become part of the pop culture. Drink the Kool-Aid. Jonestown has been linked to that infamous false phrase. The Kool-Aid pop cultural application is actually a huge deception. It is time to smash the myth and expose the immutable facts of a black op cover-up at Jonestown. U.S. Army spokesperson quickly announced no autopsies were needed, stating that the cause of death was not an issue in this case. Now, despite the black op cover-up, Dr. C. Leslie Mutu, yeah, the top Guyanese pathologist who examined the bodies, found fresh needle marks at the back of left shoulder blades on 80 to 90% of the victims. Others were strangled or shot. Of course, that fact didn't make the evening news. A surviving witness stated that resistors were forced by armed guards to comply. Many were shot. Dr. Mutu's opinion and that of the Guyanese grand jury investigating Jonestown was that all but three were murdered by persons unknown. Of these three, only two of which were suicides. But there's more, much more. On November 18, 1978, it was reported that 913 people committed suicide in Jonestown. The suicide hoax is merely the beginning of the deception to cover up the MKUltra mind control black op. The original death count was 408. Initial reports noted that an additional 700 fled into the jungle. Soon after, the final death toll was changed to 913, noting the large error was due to bodies being stacked on top of one another. Of the 150 photos taken of the massacre, not one shows any body lying under or over any others. Those who first worked on the bodies to release the gases of decay had to puncture the dead, making it unlikely that they missed anyone. How could 408 bodies, 82 of them children, cover 505 others? With little exception, pictures show the dead in neat rows face down. The pictures also expose drag marks leading to the bodies, indicating that the victims were murdered elsewhere and placed there after they died. These facts have led to a more likely conclusion. 408 was indeed the correct original body count. The other 505 were hunted down and slaughtered, then dragged back. But slaughtered and dragged back by who? And why are American officials giving such deceptive answers about Jonestown? Because Jim Jones, an enigmatic Bible-thumping charlatan faith healer who, according to his landlady, used the Bible instead of a gun, had deep ties to the agency. The evidence of this is overwhelming. The CIA connection begins with Jones' childhood friend, Dan Matarni, who was the local police chief in the early days of Jones' ministry in Indianapolis, Indiana. Matarni later entered the International Police Academy, a CIA front for training in torture and counterinsurgency techniques that were later used in Jonestown. In 1961, despite being broke, Jones somehow found the funds to travel to Brazil. Excuse me. Wouldn't you know that Dan Mitrione was there as well, practicing his CIA torture and assassination training on kidnapped beggars? By the way, Mitrione was himself later kidnapped and murdered by guerrillas in Uruguay. That'd be terrible to be kidnapped by a gorilla. Being dragged. Those things are huge and monstrously powerful. Jim Jones went to live in Brazil with his wife and made several visits to the city of Belo Horizonte, where the CIA's Brazilian headquarters was located and where Dan Mitrione resided. During this time, Jim Jones adopted as many as 150 foster children. Most were actually sent to the People's Temple by court order. Many of these children were horribly abused and traumatized in sadistic CIA mind control experiments. That shouldn't surprise you. As mentioned, the temple had strong associations with World Vision and a mercenary rebel army backed by a CIA called UNITA, U-N-I-T-A. Well, if you haven't connected all the dots yet, don't worry. There are still many more links exposing the truth about Jim Jones. He was involved in the U.S. Office of Naval Intelligence, ONI. The U.S. Embassy even provided him with transportation, groceries, and a large home. He was an asset. He was an operative. His close friendship with Mitrione and the CIA's funding of, quote, ministries in Latin America amplifies the fact that Jim Jones was an obvious U.S. intelligence asset as early as 1961. This is crazy. According to a neighbor at the time, Jones had no money but lived like a rich man. Soon after the JFK assassination, he returned to the States with $10,000. So where did this broke pastor get all this money? Evidence leads to the CIA's Skull and Bones Brotherhood, the Brotherhood of Death. Despite his ultra-right-wing background, Jones suddenly declared himself a liberal socialist and called himself a reincarnation of both Jesus Christ and Vladimir Lenin. That's an interesting mix. For people to follow this man shows how easily, apparently, they can be manipulated. Sadly, much social control has been applied to our world in both politics and pop culture. The insanity is that the Reverend Jim Jones would be considered a hero today by most liberals for his New Age utopian philosophies and a desire to homogenize society, erasing the barriers of race and sexual orientation. He would be seen as a hero, if not for the dark truth behind the lie. Utopia is hell, enslavement, suffering, torment. Like all liberal issues, the veneer is quite different than the results. The devil, no pun intended, is in the details. I love that. Jim Jones took everything he could from his liberal multiracial followers. He fleeced them good, from their welfare and social security checks to their property and their bank accounts, using extortion, blackmail, torture, and psychological warfare to shear his flock of their assets and worldly possessions for the perceived betterment of all in the collectivist utopian society that he himself created. By 1965, Jones had formed the first People's Temple in California. He also set up Happy Havens Rest Home, which was a front for MKUltra experiments. His totalitarian socialism was eagerly endorsed by the elite, but a cloud of suspicion began to gather around the People's Temple, a church that was staffed by jackbooted Nazi-esque armed thugs dressed in black SS-style uniforms, started raising some eyebrows. It's not funny, but it is kind of... You don't expect to find these guys at your church, right? Without proper licensing or even trained personnel, Jones drew in prisoners, the elderly, people from mental institutions. Of course, he was not arrested. Rather, he himself was fostered by the agency. Among those who contacted Jones were missionaries from World Vision, an international evangelical order that was a front group, once again, for the agency. Jones' advisors included a mercenary from UNITA, the CIA-backed Angolan army. The family of UC Berkeley chemist Dr. Lauren Laird Layton were also involved. Dr. Layton had worked on the Manhattan Project. Dr. Layton was also chief of the Army's Chemical Warfare Division in the early 50s, where the seeds of Project Artichoke and MK Ultra were sown. Dr. Layton's wife was the daughter of Hugo Phillips, a German banker and stockbroker who became rich representing notorious Nazi war profiteers Siemens, Hausk, and IG Farben. Boy, these are a lot of dots are connecting here. The local press reported several mysterious deaths of those attempting to leave the church due to conflicts with Jones. This was followed by increasing accusations of beating, sexual abuse, and kidnappings that led Jones to move to San Francisco, where he became an important fundraiser for the Bay Area politicos. Now, San Francisco was also a hub for clandestine CIA operations like Operation Climax and other MKUltra experiments. Soon after arriving in San Francisco, Jones was hobnobbing with the liberal and racial elite, meeting with the likes of First Lady Rosalind Carter and communist radical Angela Davis. In true New World Order crony establishment fashion, Jones was put in charge of the San Francisco Housing Commission. Are you kidding me? Key followers were also awarded jobs in the welfare department. As with all totalitarian socialist movements, the money never gets to the people who the leaders claim to be helping, but rather greedily line their own pockets. What happened in Jonestown in 1978 should serve as a lesson to those who follow and icon or ideology who follow and, well, they put and, it should be an icon or an ideology that seeks a utopian world of fairness, equality, peace, love, and freedom in a world controlled by subjected forces of the global elite, preaching these very same gospels while delivering chaos, hate, and slavery promulgated by their powerful influence. Jones's flock consisted mainly of poor, unemployed, and dispossessed people who found in Jones an Obama-esque icon of hope and change. As with the Obama regime and all communist regimes, the Jones cult preyed on the poor and helpless, going out of its way to enlist women, children, and minorities. Furthering CIA MKUltra ties, many members were recruited directly from San Francisco mental hospitals, and the move to San Francisco did little to quiet the controversy surrounding the People's Temple. A 1977 expose on the beatings, fleecing, and totalitarian goings-on at the People's Temple forced Reverend Jones to seek a safe haven. With aid from the U.S. Embassy, Jones moved his utopia to Guyana, where followers slaved in the fields for up to 18 hours a day, sustained by meager concentration camp rations. After receiving complaints lodged by relatives of cult members, Congressman Leo Ryan visited Jonestown back on November 18, 1978, to investigate allegations of human rights abuses. My research has uncovered that it wasn't Jones who initiated the genocide in Guyana, but the CIA. On Jim Jones's infamous death tape, aside from revealing, not surprisingly, that the People's Temple was a communist cult, Jim Jones also revealed a clue, God, I can't talk, when they mentioned they would parachute in, they being the CIA, would parachute in and slaughter them all if they didn't kill themselves. A revolutionary suicide would be more merciful as well as make a strong political statement. The quiet ending of the tape gives the impression that all were dead, but they weren't. Only a small group were with Jones at the pavilion. Most who truly feared for their lives fled into the jungle. Considering the forensic evidence, it appears they, the CIA, did indeed show up. The survivors who fled into the jungle were hunted down and rounded up by 300 Green Beret forces, 100 of which were MKUltra mind control assassins. The survivors who wished to live were killed. Most were force-injected poison between their shoulder blades. Some were shot, as was Jones. Some were strangled. The entire crime scene was staged more than a week before any media was allowed access. There is certainly more than meets the eye at Jonestown. In 1977, the Church Commission uncovered the many heinous and sadistic clandestine operations executed by the CIA, such as Project MKUltra. Congressman Ryan, who was a noted CIA critic, authored the Hughes-Ryan Amendment, which, if passed, would have required the CIA to disclose to Congress in advance details of all covert operations. The State Department offered Ryan no answers or assistance despite numerous inquiries. He arrived with U.S. Embassy official Richard Dower, as well as with some journalists Ryan already suspected what was really going on at Jonestown. After his suspicions were validated, all hell broke loose and he was assassinated, shot more than 40 times at the airstrip. Definite overkill. Jesus.
Wow. There is no doubt we have found the absolute best selection of rustic furniture in the entire River Region. It's at the Depot Furniture Gallery.
When we stopped by the Depot Furniture Gallery, I just fell in love with that rustic style of furniture, especially the ones with the sliding barn doors.
If you're looking for the rustic look in entertainment centers, kitchen islands, pub tables, bedroom sets, coffee and end tables, you're sure to find it at the Depot. The Depot also has a wide variety of rustic decorative accent items.
And the metal wall signs, like the ones that say Lake House, Farmhouse, Beach House,
Roll Tide,
and War Eagle ones too. So if you're looking for rustic furniture, then it's the Depot Furniture Gallery you're looking for.
Inside Prattville Pickers, 616 Highway 82. Other locations include Opelika, Birmingham, Ozark, and Arab, with more locations coming soon. Visit the DepotFurnitureGallery.com or call 380-3300.
Are you tired of exposing your retirement to stock market risk? How would you like to participate in stock market gains but never stock market losses? Join Hintz Ellis to find out how this Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Retirement and Income Radio Show on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hey, welcome back. I'm going to try to finish as much of this as I can. This is incredible. Leo Ryan was the first congressman assassinated in U.S. history, along with four reporters. And, of course, the Hughes-Ryan Amendment was killed in Congress soon afterwards. How convenient for the CIA and the shadow government. Witnesses describe the assassins as mechanical walking zombies devoid of any emotion. The massacre at Jonestown began soon after the shootings at the airstrip. A very plausible explanation for the killings was that Jim Jones, or someone, ordered the murders after Ryan's visit threatened to expose what was really happening there. In the chaos that followed, a mass extermination was carried out. Who were these zombie assassins? Well, besides the 913 dead, 167 survivors returned from the camp. News reports confirmed that there were at least 1,100 individuals at the camp. Who were the 200 or more people that are unaccounted for? Survivors report that there was a special all-white group that was well-armed, well-treated, and free to exit the compound. These guards were never accounted for on any news reports. Well, who were these white devils? Perhaps it is the same guards a congressional aide referred to in an AP article which stated there were 120 white, brainwashed assassins out from Jonestown awaiting the trigger word to pick up their hit. That is an incredible statement, folks. Of course, they had help. Over 300 U.S. Green Berets trained for CIA covert assassinations were in the area at the time. So were nearly 600 British Black Watch commandos who, like on 9/11 and the London bombings, were conducting, quote, training exercises that simultaneously mirrored actual real-world events. And the killings didn't stop in Guyana. 9 days later, San Francisco Mayor George Moscone and Supervisor Harry Milt were slain by Dan White, who was labeled disgruntled and being angry about gays. These explanations were supposed to explain Dan White's utterly irrational behavior during the shootings. He certainly blew a microchip and was described as being in a bizarre zombie state. Coincidence? I think not. During Dan White's trial, his lawyers came up with the lame Twinkie defense, in which they claimed White went insane during a sugar-induced high from eating too many sweets. Wouldn't you know it, Moscone and Milk received substantial financial backing from Jim Jones during his stay at the City by the Bay. How about that? The fact that it has been completely buried from all accounts of both incidents is fostered by Hollywood movies like Milk, starring Sean Penn as Harvey Milk, several whitewashed documentaries, and the 1980 movie Guyana Tragedy, The Story of Jim Jones, starring Powers Booth as Jones. In fact, both Harvey Milk and Mayor Moscone were investigated in connection to missing funds from the People's Temple until Dan White, another whack job lone gunman, took them out. Michael Prokes was a 31-year-old former broadcast journalist who was the temple's main spokesperson. On March 13, 1979, Michael Prokes called a press conference in a Modesto motel room. After reading a prepared statement, Prokes excused himself, went into the bathroom, closed the door, turned on the faucet, and shot himself in the head with a Smith & Wesson 38 revolver. A note found by the body read, "Don't accept anyone's analysis or hypothesis that this is the result of despondency over Jonestown. I could live and cope with despondency, nor was it an act of a disturbed or programmed mind, in case anyone tries to pass that off." Interesting how this was included in the suicide note. The fact that a person can rationally choose to die for reasons that are just, and that's just what I did. Wow. If my death doesn't prompt another look at what brought about the end of Jonestown, then life wasn't worth living anyway. Much of the first part of Prok's press statement, where he exposes the fact that the CIA and the FBI were withholding an audio tape of the final hours of the massacre. Immediately after the press conference, Prok went to the restroom and blew his brains out. This was only the beginning of the carnage after Jonestown. In Jonestown, several more temple members were killed following the Guyana massacre. The man charged with the murders, Charles Beekman, was an early follower of Jones who had become an adopted son. He just also happened to be a Green Beret. Former temple members Gene and Al Mills were found bound and shot to death at their home. In Detroit, another survivor was killed near his home. Another was involved in a mass murder of schoolchildren in L.A. Jim Jones' own suicide also leaves some unanswered questions. His body didn't reveal the tattoos in the photographs. His fingerprints were checked twice. His dental records were not checked. Jones was known to use doubles. As the massacre unfolded, Jones can be heard on a tape recording yelling, "Get Dyer out of here!" Richard Dyer was found later at the airstrip, methodically washing his hands. In 1968, Dyer was listed in the publication Who's Who in the CIA, but Dyer wasn't the only link to the CIA that was in Guyana. There's also U.S. Ambassador John Burke and another heavy hitter in the intelligence community named Richard McCoy. The U.S. Embassy in Georgetown was also a CIA station. Dan Weber, who was sent to Guyana after the massacre, was also with the agency. The official attorney for the survivors, Joseph Blatchford, was involved in a scandal involving CIA infiltration of the Peace Corps. Then there's the nearly $2 billion that went missing after the slaughter. At the time, the CIA was linked to a major international money laundering operation headquartered in Italy involving the Vatican, say it ain't so, and fascist Masonic lodge known as the P2 or the Propaganda Duo. The P2 Masonic Lodge were behind the Vatican banking scandal and the murders of banker Roberto Calvi or Pope John Paul I. CIA-linked P2 conducted major operations in Panama, not far from Jonestown. Add in the FBI files on the Black Panthers and the weathermen found at the site. Another connection to Jonestown is World Vision. World Vision was an evangelical front for the agency who performed espionage work for in Southeast Asia, during Operation Phoenix, a genocidal project that left more than 40,000 people dead. In Honduras, World Vision maintained a presence at the CIA Contra recruiting camp during the war against the Sandinistas. In Lebanon, the fascist Falange butchered Palestinians at World Vision's camp. In Cuba, World Vision refugees hosted numerous members of the anti-Castro terrorist group Alpha 66. After the Guyana massacre, World Vision developed a scheme to repopulate Jonestown with CIA-linked mercenaries from Laos. Laos, of course, was where the agency ran its secret war during Vietnam, which for the most part was a smokescreen for the widespread opium trafficking operation. This helped foment the urban decay of the 70s, particularly in the poor in the ghettos. The crack epidemic in the ghettos were mostly blacks, CIA. One particularly important World Vision official was John Hinckley Sr., an old man, reputed CIA officer, and friend of George Bush. Maybe you've heard of his son, Mark Chapman. Less than 4 months before Jody Foster's favorite fan, John Hinckley Jr., shot President Ronald Reagan, another member of the World Vision Order gunned down John Lennon. Coincidence? Hardly. Both John Hinckley Jr. and Mark David Chapman were MK-Ultra assassins. Books, phrases, and sounds are used as triggers in MKUltra mind control programming, as in the case of Mark David Chapman, who sat down after shooting John Lennon outside his Dakota apartment in New York City and began reading from a copy of the novel Catcher in the Rye. That book was written by J.D. Salinger, who worked in military intelligence with Henry Kissinger during World War II. A first responding police officer at the Dakota was convinced Chapman was a mind-controlled assassin. John Hinckley Jr. also happened to own a copy of Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger. The true purpose of World Vision was to turn Jonestown into another breeding ground for brainwashed assassins like Chapman and Hinckley. Folks, could that be the breeding ground for all the false flags? The Holmes kid? The Cruz kid? All these other lone assassins and all these false flags? Did they all come from the same place? Have they been practicing since Jonestown and maybe even before? You need to think about that. Near Jonestown was a place called Hilltown, a compound of 8,000 blacks that followed cult leader Rabbi David Hill. He, like Jim Jones, ruled his flock with an iron fist. Hill had so much power that he was referred to as Vice Prime Minister of Guyana. There was also another place in Guyana called Johnstown, as well as similar operations in the Philippines and Chile. It appears that Jonestown, and World Vision's later attempt, is hardly the exception to the rule of using obscure locations in third world nations as laboratories for covert CIA-controlled black ops. The Jonestown site in Guyana was originally a Union Carbide mine and was loaded with an abundance of precious natural resources. It's very likely that the site was chosen to exploit these resources with cheap labor, and cheap labor was plentiful. Members of Jim Jones's, quote, church were bound and gagged immediately after landing in Guyana and taken to the compound. They were pumped up with drugs, which were interestingly readily available in vast amounts at Jonestown, enough to drug almost 200,000 people for more than a year. Among the drugs found there were Quaaludes, Valium, morphine, Demerol, Thorazine, which is a very dangerous tranquilizer, sodium pentothal, truth serum, chlorohydrate, which is a hypnotic chemical agent, and thallium, which confuses thinking, and of course, cyanide. You don't want to take that and try to get a high. Jonestown residents lived in cramped quarters and ate meager rations of often spoiled food. They were then forced to give 16 to 18 hours of slave labor per day. When they weren't working, they were required to stay up day and night listening to Jim Jones' lecture. This is the indoctrination of totalitarian socialism. Among the charming punishments the flocks endured were forced drugging, sensory deprivation in an underground box, physical torture, and public sexual rape and humiliation, not to mention your average ordinary beatings and, of course, verbal abuse. All very Nazi-like, totalitarian, socialist, the iron fist of tyranny. All of the drugs and environmental conditions forced upon Jonestown residents were also employed in the CIA's notorious MKUltra program, which was implemented to test brainwashing and mind control techniques, which, by the way, we gleaned from the Nazis who we brought over here, who had tried it all out on the Jews in the concentration camps, as you should know by now. A 1974 government report admitted that certain target populations were used, namely blacks, women, prisoners, the elderly, children, and inmates of psychiatric wards. Nice of them to let us know, don't you think? Which leads us to Auschwitz. Yes, Auschwitz, that Auschwitz. After all, it wasn't just a death camp. It was also a slave labor camp for Nazi military industrial giant I.G. Farben, the aforementioned I.G. Farben. There, the outcast and the refuse of society who no one cared about faced similar abuses, while an elite few profited from their short-lived misery because they didn't last long. The brains behind the Final Solution are the brains behind MKUltra. And I'll leave it at that. The brains behind the Nazis' Final Solution became the brains behind MKUltra. The Nazis didn't lose the war, folks. Not at all. Think about that. I appreciate y'all listening to me tonight. Thank you. I do feel a little better. My reading is suffering, but, you know, what you gonna do? Like I said, I'm going to be gone next week. Most of next, to be honest with you, I don't remember. I think I'm going to be back Thursday, but I can't swear to that. I think Jay's supposed to get some repeats in, I hope. Anyway, it's been one of the worst weeks of my life, to be honest with you. And I got a lot going on. I got a lot of apologies to make because I blew my top over something. And, you know, it's like we're having a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like we're having mutiny at the shop, people leaving, and the little short mean woman is taking the brunt of it, and I cannot allow that to happen. That's not fair to her. So I've got some decisions to make. Nothing comes before my family. Nothing comes before my wife and my mother except God. So I've got some decisions to make. I got a lot of stuff to think about. Maybe the beach is the place to think about them. I don't know, but I'll try to do a podcast or two while I'm down there. I love each and every one of you. Remember, you always know where you stand when you're on your knees praying to God. That's our God, the most holy, the most high, not their God. Because they worship the antithesis